Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's The Grapevine on WISL 1040 92.1 FM. And happy Easter. Happy Passover. It is, as Governor Cuomo said yesterday, it's different. The message is perhaps still the same. And he also said, maybe more profound than ever, given the circumstances of life and death that so many people are facing. So it's strange. We have a church right around the corner from us, and usually on a given Sunday, the streets are full of cars that are parked for church. But of course, Easter Sunday, there are even more cars than ever, and there won't be any today. The streets will be empty. And people are hopefully celebrating Easter at home. Stay home. That remains the key. And as I said yesterday, if you want some, I think, really worthwhile updates on what's happening that are not filled with political spin, really, Governor Cuomo is doing a really good job of that, of keeping politics out of it. Also, there was an interview just yesterday, maybe Friday, with Dr. Michael Mendoza from Monroe County, and Brian Sharp from the DNC did a video interview with him, and that was, I thought, extremely helpful in learning more about what's happening and what the constraints on the system are, so that when you hear politicians generally, there was one from Texas recently who said, we just need to open this up and get back to business. We can't continue in this shutdown. You are, in my opinion, we are better off listening to the doctors and the nurses, the scientists who understand what's happening. And that's our way out of this. It's not politicians acting on whim and hopes and, you know, whatever their gut tells them is going to happen. So hopefully we can learn from other countries around the world that have dealt with this sooner than we have. And up till now, we frankly haven't learned a lot from them. We could. And again, we need to listen to the doctors and nurses, epidemiologists, people who study these things. And you might come back and say, well, the predictions are wrong. You know, we haven't had all the deaths and the hospitalizations that they predicted. But of course, they weren't predicting that the shutdown would be this effective. So, you know, if we stop doing what we're doing, well, what's going to stop this virus from getting much, much worse? So wear masks. If we had been doing that in public for weeks instead of just maybe the last week, last few days, maybe we would have fewer deaths, fewer hospitalizations. But that guidance to wear masks just came in the last week or so. Again, follow what the doctors say. There are plenty of postings and videos from doctors around the country and from New York City about what they're facing every day. And my goal is to try to limit the degree to which we overwhelm the system, which is overwhelmed. It's a matter of keeping it from getting worse. So from home, you can order wine from local wineries, have it delivered to your door, and support a local industry, which is struggling a lot right now. There would be lots of tourists starting to arrive in the Finger Lakes in April, and then certainly in May. Events that they do, the wine trail events, etc., bring in a lot of income that they use for promotion throughout the year. Their tasting rooms are closed. The shipping of wine is one way to help support them. So a lot of wineries offering some special deals on shipping. Some are offering free shipping. Also, I've seen $6 kind of set price shipping. Get a three bottles, get a half a case, maybe a case of wine, and perhaps send some to someone else too, as a thank you, as a note of that you're thinking about them. And the wines from the Finger Lakes and from New York State in general are amazing. Just last week we talked to Robin Ross from Arrowhead Spring Vineyards, and they have some fabulous dry reds. They make a traditional ice wine and have quite a range of other wines. Really, for many of these wineries, you can do a mixed case of 12 different wines, often very different styles: dessert wine, sparkling wine, dry rosé, fruit wine. Sometimes several wineries make mead. You can have some fun with some mixed cases, and people can explore these wines while they're locked down and hopefully staying home. So if you're looking for any particular kind of wine, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Maybe I can help if there's a variety you're looking for and wondering who's producing it. If you're looking for any kind of particular story or history, again, we have some really historic wineries here in our region. One of the oldest, we'll talk to Willoline in the next hour. Eagle Crest Vineyards from Hemlock Lake, they are from 1872, and they have some gorgeous dry reds and white wines. They also have some sweeter wines. They also make altar wine, but that's not for sale to the general public. That's for churches, and that's what they started making 148 years ago. So we'll get an update from Will in the next hour. And it seemed just so appropriate to interview Will on Easter Sunday, given that it's one of the main sources of altar wine that's made locally in the Northeast. One of very few altar wine producers, and of course a challenging time for him because the churches are not open. They're not using altar wine, so they're not buying altar wine. The shutdown has effects all through the economy. But again, opening up the economy right now is most likely going to be far more disruptive than helpful. We need testing. We need a vaccine. That's further away, but testing is something that could be rolled out much, much faster. We need people wearing face masks. Your mask protects me. The mask I wear protects you. And that's going to be crucial if we're going to begin to open up the economy. But we need those tests so we can tell who is contagious and who isn't, who has antibodies and has recovered, or maybe didn't even know they had the coronavirus but has the antibodies and is far less likely to come down again with it. That's really crucial information that we don't have right now. So if anyone tells you we need to just open up the economy and if people die, they die, insist on testing. That's the key right now, and it's really still not available. And the tests that are available are not that accurate. Dr. Michael Benendoza from Minot County said there was a 30% false negative. And that means that people are told they don't have the coronavirus, they only have the flu, and sent home to infect other people, potentially. That's what false negatives do. Or it's so obvious they have the coronavirus that you still keep them in the hospital and test them again in a day or two, and then it's positive. So these tests, we need lots more of them, and we need better ones. So, again, the restaurant industry in particular is just devastated by this. The wait staff are unemployment. When those benefits come through, that's been challenging to sign up for because the system was so overwhelmed by numbers that had never been seen before in a short period of time. And it's a right now, hard to say when restaurants would be able to reopen. So a really kind of devastating article in Food and Wine magazine, and Rochester Food Net, Chris Clemens found this, or I'm not sure where he linked to this, but it's an article in Food and Wine at foodandwine.com. It says it's time to delete your delivery apps. I don't know the author. It was written April 12th, and didn't actually check the end of the article, see if it said who this author was, but someone who's definitely on the restaurant side of things versus maybe the high tech and delivery app side of things, because they're very, very blunt about this. The title kind of highlights that. The title is, "It's Time to Delete Your Delivery Apps." The subtitle is, "For weeks, as restaurants begged delivery platforms to reduce their commissions, the apps refused, further profiting from the coronavirus crisis." The article, it's not a long article, but it is again very, very blunt their criticism of the delivery apps. And I think if you read this, you probably will delete those delivery apps and try to order directly from restaurants and do takeout, perhaps. Or many restaurants are offering delivery. As I said yesterday, RochesterBeacon.com has a really good article about local restaurants here in Rochester, that some of which are doing their own deliveries just for this reason. And I think a lot of people don't realize how much the delivery apps take in terms of commissions and other fees. And I didn't realize really the degree to which they did this. A couple of sentences in here, it says, "For too long, these apps, middleman tech companies with millions, if not billions, in funding, have long frustrated the restaurant industry. Their predatory practices include typically taking a 20 to 30% commission from restaurants on each order." And that's a lot. "Asking restaurants to pay for promotions the app is offering to customers, and adding restaurants to the app without the restaurant's consent, not to mention the several hundred dollars these companies charge restaurants to even sign up to use their platforms." This goes back to the start of the crisis, says for weeks, as restaurants begged the delivery apps to reduce their commissions, the apps refused, instead embarking on misleading PR campaigns, positioning themselves as friends and saviors of the restaurant industry. Again, a pretty devastating article in Food and Wine about this. And, you know, obviously the people who do deliveries for these apps, they are trying to earn a living. You know, it's not that simple. But the article was written on April 12th, and that day it says San Francisco passed an emergency order requiring delivery apps to cap their commissions at 15%. Grubhub sent an email to their San Francisco customers pleading with them to oppose the order. It says, should be noted earlier this past week, DoorDash announced it would reduce all commission fees for restaurants with five or less locations by 50% between April 13th and the end of May. So the delivery apps are fighting it out amongst themselves to some degree here. Read the article. There's a lot more to it. I'm not going to read the whole article. It doesn't take too many sentences to get the gist of the author's point of view. And I saw yesterday, I mentioned a video from a restaurant in Edmonton in Canada who kind of went through the costs of running a restaurant. You know, the fixed costs, the food and the labor, the kind of like a mini spreadsheet on his chalkboard of the expenses of running a restaurant. And in the end, about a 5% margin, profit margin when things are going well. And restaurants are known for very low profit margins. They make more money on the sale of beer and wine and spirits. That's one of the things that really keeps a lot of restaurants afloat, because the margins are much higher on those. And the chef, his whole point of this, it's a local independent chef in Edmonton, was that, you know, you take that 20 to 30% commission from the delivery apps and you are, you're underwater. You are losing money on every order. And while, as he said, you have less labor in the restaurant because you don't have wait staff. You have probably fewer people in the kitchen. But the reduction in labor costs does not equal the commission from the delivery apps of 20 to 30%. So keep that in mind. And more restaurants are doing their own delivery, partly because they want to help employ some of their staff that wouldn't otherwise have a job. And instead of giving this commission to the delivery apps, they are essentially paying their employees to do the delivery. So, again, RochesterBeacon.com, nice article about what local restaurants, the main photo is Avula's, and the owners are out there doing the deliveries. So keep that in mind as you're deciding who to order from. And I guess I'm not that familiar with the delivery apps, but some people order through them and still go pick it up themselves. And in that case, the delivery app still gets about 15% commission, even though they didn't do the delivery. They just provided the platform online for that order to be placed. So, you know, if you're going to go pick it up yourself, try to call the restaurant or do it online. Some restaurants like Roarbox, we talked to John Erlob yesterday, are doing only online ordering. They're offering takeout at both locations, but it's only online. And that's helped to smooth things out because they didn't have enough phone lines to handle the takeout, and that was frustrating customers because they couldn't get through. So they've revamped their system and are doing a reduced menu, and it's only available online. And of course, because it's Easter Sunday, a lot of restaurants are closed today. Even those that often did take out are doing it now. Many of those you'll find are closed today. So it's a challenging time for everyone. And you know the local restaurants. I've worked with them for almost 25 years doing this radio show, and my heart goes out to them. You know, they have to lay off so many employees that are like family, you know, and in many cases, some of these employees have worked with them for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you know, it's like firing your family. John Erlob was saying yesterday from Robox that he's trying to make this takeout model work and really show those employees that had to be laid off that Robox is going to be around for the long run, and they're going to have their jobs back as soon as the economy starts to reopen. And there, a really interesting debate, which affects us here in Rochester, but not quite as directly as New York City. And one of the reasons to watch Andrew Cuomo's daily briefing, and you can catch it online later, debate in New York City about whether to reopen the schools. Mayor de Blasio wants to, or sooner than later, Mayor de Blasio wants to announce that they're closed for the school year. He wants people to know that and sort of be able to plan for that. And Governor Cuomo is not ready to make that decision. And wants that decision to be for the entire metropolitan area, not just for New York City. So a lot of the debate is, can you open the schools before you open up stores and businesses? You get to see a little bit more behind the scenes, the strategizing of how to go about this, looking at what other countries have done and are doing right now, and trying to figure out how we can do this and when. It is, his briefings are a great window into that debate. And whether you, you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you like Andrew Cuomo or not, it doesn't really matter. I think the information is pretty solid, and again, goes out of his way not to be political, and pretty effectively. So, you know, the question of when to reopen restaurants, when to reopen stores, it's a challenging one. But we have other countries that are in this process. We can learn from them, and that's going to be crucial in how successful we are. We are not at the peak here in Monroe County, probably, for hospitalizations and deaths. And a lot of this coverage is free at the DNC, things related to the coronavirus and the New York Times. But the convention center downtown here in Rochester has been converted to a potential site for hospital beds. And that's just a sign that we are not at the peak yet. We don't know how overwhelmed our local hospitals will be. And that's why we need to stay home. and wear masks if you have to go out to the grocery store or something. I was out in Highland Park yesterday, the last couple of days. I went to Highland Park, and you don't want to, you know, stay on the main path and catch up with all your friends that you see out there. It's not the time to do that, but you can stay off the path and find all kinds of things in bloom right now. The first cherries are starting to bloom. The first magnolias are starting to bloom. And as I've said in the gardening show many times, it's these weeks before the lilacs bloom that I think are far more beautiful in Highland Park than even when those lilacs are blooming. Of course, the lilacs are really fragrant, but all these other flowers are just, they're gorgeous right now. Daffodils, the blue scilla are blooming. So you know, get outdoors, you can stay off the main paths, avoid people, but get out and then see some of these spring flowers, and hopefully that will boost our spirits and, again, kind of connect with Mother Nature. There's a blue jay, or two blue jays, a family of blue jays building a nest in our front yard. They seem to be pretty oblivious to this coronavirus. And it's kind of helpful to see, for me, to see Mother Nature moving ahead with spring, even as we kind of try not to go anywhere, like we're stuck in limbo. I get some solace in seeing Mother Nature and spring moving along. So, again, wear masks when you go out in public, and stay home at this point for at least another week, probably two, through the end of April. If we do this, these kinds of strict restrictions, if we do them really well, we'll get out of this sooner and begin to open things up. You can reach us here with comments and questions, 585-346-3000. You can email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors on WYSL 1040.
Oh, Lordy, well, I kissed her again because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Sweeter than wine.
Well, I asked her to marry and be my sweet wife. I told her we'd be so happy for the rest of her life. I begged her and I pleaded like a natural man. And then, whoops, oh, Lordy, well, she gave me her hand because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than.
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of The Grapevine, and without them, I wouldn't be here on the radio. Let them know that you listen. Some great people to place orders for wine, for example, from places like Arrowhead Spring Vineyards. We talked to Robin Ross last weekend, and Robin and Duncan Ross founded Arrowhead Spring Vineyards 15 years ago, something like that. Just north of Lockport, so it's only an hour and a half away, but the western New York, not as well-known a wine region as the Finger Lakes, and maybe you haven't explored that area. You can look them up online and see a cool drone photo of their winery and the vineyards. It's a beautiful location right at the base of the Niagara Escarpment on the U.S. side of the Niagara River. And again, just north of Lockport, arrowheadspringvineyards.com. Some delicious Syrah, a number of gorgeous dry reds, both varietals and blends. Also white wines and a traditionally made Vidal ice wine. So arrowheadspringvineyards.com. Get more details. They can ship you wine and get some great options. So get a mixed case, maybe half a case, six different wines that they make, or get a full case. That's arrowheadspringvineyards.com. Also brought to you by Ristorante Lucano, and they are located at Winton and East Avenue. They're doing takeout closed today, but they are doing takeout and some fantastic Italian food and Italian wine, which now restaurants can offer bottles and sell wine along with takeout food. And they have a really exceptional selection of Italian wines. So if you want to use the shutdown period to learn a little bit more about wine, get some takeout from them and maybe a bottle or two of some interesting Italian wines. And they can tell them what you like. They can suggest what you might want to try. It's at RistoranteLucano.com. Again, look them up online and... The corner of East Avenue and Winton. Also brought to you by Roarbox. We talked to John Erlob yesterday, and they are offering takeout. They're closed today, but they do have takeout available from both locations. A reduced menu. They closed for a week or 10 days and kind of revamped what they would offer for takeout and how they did it. Streamlined things so they'd have fewer people in the kitchen. Set up systems so they could do curb service, so no one needed to go in the restaurant, it is really a that's what businesses need to do to help keep their employees safe and keep their customers safe is be smart about how they set up takeout and curbside service. So Roarbox.com, you can get more details, and of course some delicious beer. The Red Wing Ale is out. Even if the Red Wings aren't playing in the stadium, the Red Wing Ale is out as a sign of spring. And, of course, things like Space Kitty and others, those are available at grocery stores, but if also available for takeout, pickup at the two locations for Roarbox, Railroad Street by the Public Market, and also their brew pub on Buffalo Road just west of Manitow. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on The Grapevine.
Red, red wine. Go to my head. Make me forget that I still need her so.
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It is The Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And the Wine Spectator is out. The new issue has a nice photo of Peter Bell in it from Fox Run, because not just one, but three of their wines scored 90 points. And these are some of their sort of Riesling project wines. They've been doing these for several years. Quite a few years now, maybe 6 years. Really taking a Riesling vineyard and kind of carving it up into the different geological features within that vineyard. And there's this hanging delta, which is a geological term for what was a delta when the lake was much bigger. So Seneca Lake used to be much, much deeper, and, you know, we're talking like Ice Age times. So there are these features like this hanging delta up at Fox Run that were, you know, at the water's edge many thousands of years ago. And so the soils are a little different than they are. And one of their other wines, Lake Dana, this is off dry, they describe it, and that was the name of the lake at that time. Not that, you know, any person was living there that named it Lake Dana, that's just, you know, that's what the geologists named it when it was a much, much bigger lake. They also have Lake Silvan, three different Rieslings, three different styles, really. One or several of them much lower in alcohol, more of a Mosel style. I forget which one, but maybe all three of them, actually. Maybe the Sylvan a little bit higher because it's drier. But 90 points for all three of these from Wine Spectator. And of all the publications, Wine Spectator is probably the stingiest with their 90-point scores. So it's and nice to see the photo of Peter Bell in this. It's in their buying guide at the back. Also, Ford Sellers, three 90-point scores, 92, 91, and 91. Silver Thread with five 90-point scores for their different Rieslings. And so these are some single vineyard Rieslings, but also their dry and their semi-dry, all scoring 90 points. So congratulations to them, and again, helping to raise the profile of New York State by sending their wines into Wine Spectator and coming back with 90 point or more scores. So again, if you want details on which wines, I can send you some notes on it, but they are a whole bunch of them in this current Wine Spectator. So if you see any press about the Finger Lakes or New York State wines in general, send me a copy of a photo of it. You don't need to send me a hard copy of it. Just take a photo and send it, or send me a link, and try to keep track of these things. We have a special guest with us, Randy Agnes from Agnes Wine Cellars, who's been doing some virtual tastings, or did his first one this past Thursday, I think. Right, Randy?
That's correct. Yeah. We featured the Riesling from Zugabe and also the dry Riesling from Ravines.
So how did you set up this virtual tasting, and why taste other Rieslings? You could just taste yours and, you know, talk about yours.
I think we're all in this together, you know, and, you know, what I want to do with this series is to get people some exposure on the wines of the Finger Lakes. And we've gotten a tremendous response, both initially live and rebroadcast of it. And I think it's something we're going to like to do. We've gotten a lot of help from the wineries that we're featuring. They're providing tasting notes and any information they can for us to do this, which is, you know, part of that collaborative effort to do a nice job.
Yeah.
And now we have a number of the wine shops around the Rochester area, greater Rochester, that want to help be featured in this, to show that, hey, we are open, and here's some of the wines that we carry from the ones that are being featured. I'm just completely excited by that.
So how did you, you know, sort of explain how the tasting goes? How long is it, and what do you do during the course of it?
Well, it lasts for around 30 minutes, but it runs a little bit longer at times, it seems. We basically open, this week we opened three bottles. We opened one of ours, our Riesling, and then the Zugby and the Ravines. And with that, we would actually go through kind of like how you'd go and taste it, so people that aren't familiar with that process. And then I would be commenting, you know, what some of the notes that are from Zugby and some of my personal feelings, and then go into, you know, our relationship with these companies as well. Because, as you know, there are so many interconnections between the wineries. And so some personal notes, you know, how friendships are developed and relationships. And we got a lot of people that chimed in and said that they appreciate it. There's not a lot of live content that people have available other than They're kind of running out of their Netflix series. And so it's nice to have a little break and have something else. And it's a little bit fun. And what people are doing is they're opening bottles of the wines that they have and are, you know, sending in questions about, you know, what my feelings are or where they might be able to find, you know, some of these wines. And so when I started to figure out we needed to know where people could pick it up, that's when I started to contact the area wine shops, and they've all responded tremendously, saying, you know, this is a really cool event. It's very supportive of the Finger Lakes. It's very supportive of the wine shops. And we also talk about, you know, and as you mentioned, the takeout possibilities for the restaurants in this area to include wine with the takeout order and make it a one-stop shop for people.
I think you texted me that you've had about 1,000 views from last Thursday's.
Yeah, initially it was about 150, and then it ballooned into 1,000. I think people started sharing this video with other people, and it just exploded. So we're hoping that we can gain even a bigger audience, you know, for the ones that we're trying this week. So this week we're actually going to be tasting the Riesling, a semi-dry Riesling from Silver Thread, which you mentioned earlier. And also the Terse Riesling, which is a collaborative Riesling. That's among Fox Run, Anthony Road, and Red Newt. And it's kind of going to that area to say, okay, there's some wineries like Silver Thread you might not know, and some people might not be that familiar with Terse. And so it's nice to go out there and try other people's wines. It helps me with writing articles. But more importantly, it's to get the word out, hey, there's some really great wines out in the Finger Lakes, and, you know, they need your support, just like the restaurants and the wine shops and the bars that are really struggling to try and, you know, stay alive and stay afloat and survive this whole situation.
And I think you've made some of your wine at Zugaby in the past, right?
Our first wines were produced at Zugaby, which did receive ratings as a semi-dry from both Wine Spectator and Wine Enthusiast. So, you know, we were very happy with, you know, the collaborative effort, and that really allowed us to launch. That was the only really way we could have launched. And they still are a supplier of grapes for us to make our wine, which is fantastic.
It's also an opportunity, I guess, for you to kind of benchmark your Rieslings against these others and see how they contrast. And, you know, you pick some awfully good ones.
I've got a whole list. And, you know, what we'll do is we'll be promoting those, you know, at the end of each event. We'll promote what's the next week for people to get a chance to see. And some of these are going to be more popular, and some are going to be ones that they might not have ever tried or heard of. So we're really hoping that we get the same kind of support from, you know, the wineries throughout this series. I'm not sure how long it'll last, but right now we're having a lot of fun with it, and I think it's being, you know, taken very nicely. You know, we've gotten such a nice response out of this initially. It makes sense to continue.
So 7 p.m. this Thursday, you'll do it again, and if obviously people can catch it afterwards, but if they catch it live, they can send you messages and things?
Yeah, they've been sending messages. Some have gone to our website and sent questions that way as well. So it's been just a lot of fun. It really has. I'm quite nervous because it was the first time we've tried anything like this. But the response has just been tremendous. So, you know, it makes sense. People, I think, need a little diversion from all the chaos that's going on. And all the bad news, to hear something nice and something that they can go out and pick up themselves and try.
It seems like it's a nice idea to do three wines. It's not too many. It's not too few. It gives you a chance to contrast them a little bit. And but again, it's not like 5-7 wines would get kind of confusing and.
Right.
Kind of overwhelming.
I think we have time to, you know, by doing some each week, you know, we'll get a wide variety in views of different reasons, because we'll you know, I like the dry Rieslings, I like the semi-dries, and I like the Rieslings that are a little sweeter. And so it's just a chance to talk about them and say, you know, here's some of the things that you would get from the winery, and then here's some of my personal opinions. And then I think a lot of people like the little side stories. And I know that, you know, that's something that you do a great job of with your interviews, is to, you know, find more about and deeper about, you know, what's going on with the winery. And this way it gives us a chance to, you know, do that on my personal experience of being able to collaborate and work with other wineries across the Finger Lakes, including the articles that I write. So,
one Silver Thread, you're linked to them through the through FLCC, right?
Yes. I had taken my winemaking classes at FLCC with Paul Brock and a number of other professors there. And, you know, that's really where the beginning was, to, you know, take actual formal classes and produce wine during the classes, actually. So it's a great program. They've got a great facility. And, you know, Paul has been a personal friend, you know, since I started winemaking. So that's great. And then as far as the tourists, you know, I've known the people at Fox Run and Peter Bell especially, and you know, also Peter Beecraft at Anthony Road. I've gotten to know those people very well. I was at one point, you know, with several people at Red Newt, but some have moved on. So there's always room for new relationships, and that does happen at times where people go on to different careers or actually different wineries. So,
right. And Peter Bell just won a key industry award from the New York Wine and Grape Foundation a few weeks ago, and I interviewed Julia Propera Hosbach about that. She introduced him and reminded people that Peter is very blunt on his comments on wine. If you ask him what you think of your wine, you're going to hear exactly what he thinks, right?
Well, I think that's good because, you know, I've had the same conversations with Eric Asnoff at New York Times and, you know, Dave McNary at the Washington Post, where they're going to tell you, you know, sometimes they're not, you know, they don't want to say anything because they don't want to hurt your feelings. But I'd rather have the education from some of these people that are really experts in the area. And Peter Bell obviously is one of those. You know, one of the classes at FLCC involved Peter Bell, and he was lecturing on Chardonnay, and it was extremely interesting. And those are the type of people that will come in to the FLC course classes and give you an insider, you know, perspective on what's the real world out there, which is, it's fantastic. If you don't have people that will give you honest opinions, then you won't grow.
Right. But Peter is more blunt than most. And when I've sat in on judging panels with him, he's so quick on identifying the strengths and the weaknesses of the wine. It's kind of fascinating to see his brain working.
It's almost nice because I've done that similarly as a guest judge, and you know, not only is he blunt, he's also willing to listen to other people and what they say and not shut them down. So it's true. Kind of nice to get, you know, this strong opinion, but then the ability to listen and say, okay, well, you know, this was my perspective on it as well. And a lot of times, you know, he and Peter Beecraft have been like heads of tables almost. And it's nice to get those people that have such great experience in the industry to be judges, you know, especially when we're doing, you know, a lot of the Finger Lakes wines and discussing them. And it's amazing, you know, the amount of knowledge and experience that they have.
Yeah, definitely. Peter's in the range of 30 years at Fox Run at this point. And Randy Agnes is with us from Agnes Wine Cellars. Right now, you've got Riesling planned for this coming week, and that's what you did last week. Do you think you'll expand beyond Riesling at some point and taste other wines?
I think I will. Yeah, I think I will, because there's a lot of wineries that are focusing on red wines as well and rosés. So there's a lot of room for this to go, and you know, we'll hopefully this whole lock-in, you know, and stay at home issue will pass, and people can get back into somewhat of a regular routine. But it's been a lot of fun so far, and you know, we've seen so much local support for doing something like this, both from the people that are listening and also from, you know, people in the industry.
Yeah, so 7 p.m. this Thursday on Facebook, live tasting with Randy Agnes. And again, you'll have Ravines and Tierce this week?
It was Silver Thread and Tierce.
Silver Thread. Okay.
Yes. So really great wines. And it's so nice. It's so easy to talk about wines that are just so delicious and delightful. You know, you almost get a little bit lost in the tasting itself because you're enjoying it yourself as much as talking about it.
Yeah, and again, the people can watch these after the fact. They don't need to catch them live. But if it is live, they can interact with you and ask some questions.
Sure.
So great, Randy. I think thanks for the update on that. And 7 p.m. this Thursday.
Thank you so much. I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Happy
bye-bye.
Easter.
You too. That's Randy Agnes, Agnes Wine Cellars, which does not have a tasting room. He is very active and was until this shutdown of visiting restaurants and working on getting his wines into restaurants around New York State. And you know, not having a tasting room gave him perhaps more flexibility to go and visit those restaurants. And so he's been in one of the most active wineries out there that is going out and visiting restaurants. And only makes a semi-dry Riesling. He makes just one wine, but has four or so vintages now, somewhere in that range, that he's done. If you want details, you can look him up online or on Facebook. And again, 7 o'clock this Thursday, he'll do another second virtual tasting. One of the reasons I don't do tastings of wine on the show, on the radio, some people do tastings of wine on the radio. I'm not a expert on wine. You really don't want to hear my descriptions of what I'm drinking, because I'm not very good at that. I think I don't have the palate to identify them. I've been tasting wine long enough. I've been reading about it long enough, talking about it long enough, and I can't pick out the notes of the wine. So, you know, Silver Threads, Gridley Bluff Point Vineyard, single vineyard Riesling, James Molesworth, who reviewed it for Wine Spectator, says that it's zingy. I might be able to come up with zingy, featuring yellow apple and peach fruit laced with a quinine thread. Turns toward the plumper side on the finish with a lemon curd note echoing. Even when I'm tasting that, I'm not sure I could pick out those things, you know, after reading the description. But it's kind of intriguing to read them and try to pick them out. You know, Fox Runs, Lake Sylvan Riesling, James Molesworth says a fresh, dry style with piercing edge to the mix of acacia, jasmine, and white peach flavors. Shows good tension on the finish. You know, I enjoy wine, and I guess perhaps enjoy the stories behind it, and the winemakers and the history, etc., more than then I can come up with descriptions like this. So some of these, there are some sort of funny parodies of wine descriptions out there that, James Molesworth is kind of in the middle of, doesn't go too overboard on this and yet has some pretty specific, fruits or flavors or scents, et cetera, that he'll mention. But there's some that go way overboard, and then there's some fun parodies of those too. The Forge Cellars, their Seneca Lake dry railroad Riesling, this single vineyard Riesling, lively and unctuous with a mix of clementine, nectarine, and jasmine oil notes, backed by a pink grapefruit detail on the finish. So you kind of imagine someone just like going in search of all these things. I mean, what's the difference between jasmine flower and jasmine oil? Clementine, nectarine, pink grapefruit. I can kind of imagine those. I'm not sure I could pick them out of that wine, but I can kind of imagine those. But then, one of the other Bellows Riesling from Forge, described as peach, singed almond, and beeswax notes. I don't know, is a singed almond not quite charred almond? Again, kind of interesting. And then a zing of grapefruit oil lining the finish. Fun to read these. These descriptions are in Wine Spectator under the New York State Rieslings that they reviewed, and again, 90-point scores for a whole bunch of them from Silver Thread, Forge Cellars, and Fox Run. And by the way, I mentioned yesterday, Forge Cellars is perhaps the Riesling they make in largest quantity, one of their biggest sellers, their Classique Dry Riesling. They are going to donate 5% of those proceeds to the Restaurant Workers Association and a number of other wineries around the country are doing things like that, recognizing that a lot of their wines are sold in restaurants, and they are sold at the table often by waitstaff members, and those waitstaff members are out of work. Almost all of them at this point, unless they're helping with delivery or something in the restaurant. Restaurants are closed except for takeout delivery. And so Forge Cellars got a lot of press over, including in Wine Spectator, for doing this. And we need to help raise the profile of how challenging this is for people who can't work at home. I'm lucky. I can do the radio shows from home. I often did before the shutdown, so I just can't go out and do remote broadcasts. But for many people, the option of working from home is just not. They're just out of work. So again, if you want some suggestions on restaurants that are doing takeout and taking a lot of precautions and things to help keep you safe, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. The Democrat and Chronicle has a pretty good listing of, they've worked hard to keep track of who's doing takeout. That's available, that article, at democratandchronicle.com. And rochesterbeacon.com, which doesn't normally cover food really very much. It's more about the economy and politics, and a really good group of journalists that founded it. They have an article about what local restaurants are doing in terms of takeout, rochesterbeacon.com. We'll be back in a few moments with hour number two of The Grapevine with Will Olien from Eagle Crest on just above Hemlock Lake. Michael Warren Thomas here on The Grapevine.